Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
After a bit of a rough start, the Padres have an off day and are wondering if something needs to be changed before this season gets going any further.
Are we already looking for a new host because of this?
No. Just want to make sure that everyone's on the same page here.
So Mike Ginella is here for now, along with the Padres Social Hour debut of Chris Ello and Bill Center, who's nearly speechless about this Padres scoreless start to the season.
I really dislike it. I mean, I really, really do.
Now, coming to you from the AMR studio inside the Western Metal Supply Company building, it's Padres Social Hour with your hosts, Mike Ginella, Chris Ello, and Bill Center.
Whoa! Three straight shutouts, and it's the Social Hour host that is on the hot seat, Bill?
Absolutely.
Man.
Hey, the only thing different from last year
is him.
You.
Is me?
No, what about me?
Yeah.
It was
I was gonna actually not show up until they scored a run this year, but then that would have taken me out for another show. So
welcome inside the AMR studio. It's Padres Social Hour with Chris Ello, Bill Center. I'm Mike Ginella. San Diego crying this morning, literally, the rain that we all woke up to. And I think the city not happy with the baseball today, and understandably so. Another shutout last night at the hands of the Dodgers. The Padres are now an MLB historic 27 straight innings to start a season without scoring a run. And, things not good. Let us know what you think using hashtag PadresSH throughout the show today and joining the conversation at Padres.com/social hour. But, guys, use one word, I guess, each to describe this opening series. It's
dismal.
Yeah, that fits.
Right. It was pretty bad.
Chris?
I was going to say hard to do.
That's three words.
Well, there's a hyphen in between there. No, I mean, it's really, I mean, you almost can't do what they've done through three games. I mean, to not be able to score a run. So it's definitely historic, and it's not the way you want to start. You know, I saw Bill after the first game on the show saying that the 15-0 doesn't mean anything. And I respectfully kind of disagree with you when I was watching, because I think when you charge into a season and everybody's excited and then you get blown out like that in your first game, it can have a residual effect. And I think that it kind of has in the last two games.
15-0, you can say bad day, Kershaw,
right,
whatever.
Blow it
but
off.
Then 3-0 and then 7-0, it gets bad
right.
Fast. It gets tough. And Twitter was angry and throughout last night. And we want to show some of the more, I guess, extreme reactions, because it is bad. We're not sugarcoating it. This has been an abysmal three games for the Padres offense. But we have some people like our friend Marco that we saw on Twitter firing up the hashtags. Hashtag fire Andy Green. Hashtag fire Mike D. Hashtag fire Fowler. Do something, please. This is beyond ridiculous. Then we've had someone else, JD Meadows, who says he was never a hashtag fire Bud Black guy, but he's only a few more scoreless Padres innings away from hashtag fire Andy Green. This is garbage baseball. The baseball has not been good,
no.
But I think it's a little early still, correct me if I'm wrong, to start making these kind of clean house, get rid of the Social Hour host, get rid of everybody, just redesign the whole front office. Agreed?
No, you've got to have a plan. You have to ride with it. It's too early to talk about getting rid of anybody. And it's even, I mean, honestly, the Padres are not the first team in Major League history to be shut out in three straight games. In fact, it happened to the Dodgers last year. I'm not comparing the Padres lineup to the Dodgers lineup, but it's happened before. When it happens the first three games of the season, the magnifying glass is huge, and the flame under that magnifying glass is burning. So I totally agree with the fans that they're frustrated, that they're upset. This has been a dismal start, but it's not the end of the world.
The other thing is none of those fire hashtags were considering firing anybody who's actually bringing a bat to home plate.
Right.
You know, I mean, Andy Green is the manager. I understand he has to take responsibility for the way the team plays, but he's not the one that's not, you know, driving the ball into the gaps. He's not the one not getting on base. Mike D has yet to pop up with the bases loaded. You know, Ron Fowler hasn't hit into a double play yet. I mean, you know, change the whole front office, change everything around it. Yeah, I mean, the guys who are playing have to play better. They know that.
Which we talked about in yesterday's show, you can't see the effect of a manager without any runners on base. You can't see Andy Green's aggressiveness with hit and running or with bunting or moving players along. And I think the players will be the first ones to tell you, yeah, they don't like what's going on. I'm sure Will Myers doesn't want to be in this funk he's in. I'm sure Derek Norris doesn't want to be in the funk he's in. And all the way up and down the line,
right,
they're the least happy of anybody.
Well, I think Andy
it
Green,
sucks is what right. Derek Norris said, and yeah, I think right. that sums it up nicely.
Andy Green had a phrase that I hadn't seen before last night, and I think it sort of sums it up.
Yeah.
Collective pressing.
Yep.
And I think it's pretty much rampant right now with this team. And honestly, I think that it's good that they're out of here for right now, that they're going to Colorado. Now, if they don't score in Colorado, then there are big questions.
Then the social hour host
right.
get the hashtags and everything.
Because
if you can't, I don't think Colorado's ever even had a shutout there, let alone three in a row. So, and you faced Kershaw and you faced Kazmir and obviously this young Japanese pitcher or veteran Japanese pitcher. But now you're facing Jordan Lyles on Friday. This is a guy, a journeyman, ERA over 5 last year, didn't pitch very much. De La Rosa's going to pitch Saturday. He's a capable big league pitcher, but I mean, you got some guys that you're going to get some runs off coming up.
At Coors and then at the Phillies, too, who everyone is projected to not have a great season. It could be what the doctor ordered, but for now, it still has not been good. I think Abraham Fausto on Twitter summed it up best with his excellent use of the crying Jordan meme covering. I mean, Abraham, you got to at least do a current picture with some, you know, this year's Padres uniforms using last year's in his meme. But, yeah, a whole Padres dugout of crying Jordans. Yeah. Although I got to say, after all of the crying Jordan on Michael Jordan after the North Carolina NCAA championship loss earlier this week, I think we've reached peak crying Jordan meme.
I thought your buddy Kirk Kenny, or my buddy also from the San Diego UT, sent out a really funny tweet last night. Said here's a shot of the last guys that had this much trouble scoring. And it was the two guys from the Night at the Roxbury, Saturday Night Live
right,
characters,
right.
Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan. I thought that was pretty cute.
Yeah, things have not been the greatest so far. Now, one tweet I did want to bring up comes from our friends at Change the Padres because they used one of my tweets specifically a couple days ago. This was after the second game, so when it was only 18-0 aggregate and only 18 innings scoreless baseball. And I said that, yeah, two games, that's the big sample size that's going to tell us everything we need to know about the team. And Change the Padres came out and wrote an entire post debunking the small sample myth seen below. And it was a good post, well thought out, well researched. They used Bayesian probability, referenced POGS, which is a quick way to my heart. But basically what they said is that when you have three straight shutouts like this, even when it's that kind of a sample size, it goes to show you that it's much more likely to happen frequently throughout the season, that this is a team that you can basically cement its identity now.
I think he took stats to make his case. Because
yeah, I disagree with
right,
that.
Right, I disagree with that. There have been a number of teams in Major League history that have lost three straight. I saw that blog, and I think he took a certain stat to prove his point instead of investigating it and figuring out where everything
How many games did the
Dodgers lost, right. I'm not
the previous record holder. No, you were telling us before the previous record holder was the Cardinals.
Right, the 1943 Cardinals.
Yeah.
They were, in fact, they went 26 innings without scoring a run. They scored two in the bottom of the ninth of the last game to win it. But they then went 105-49 for the season. I'm not saying the Padres are going to do that.
That's the thing, too.
Yeah, but you can come up with that stat if you want to.
No one is saying that after these three games, the Padres are going to come out, win 10 in a row, win the NL West, win the World Series, win 100 games. All I'm saying is don't jump to either conclusion yet.
Right.
They won't be the worst offensive team in Major League history.
And
they won't be the 98 Yankees.
And for somebody to say, I can debunk that. Oh, I can do this. I can debunk that. No, you don't know. Nobody knows.
I did it. I did the math. So this has been three games through 162 so far.
Right.
That's 1.8% of the season, I think the math was. In the NFL, that would equate to 17 minutes passed in game one. So in the second quarter of week one in the NFL, even Blooper here, who's a Buffalo Bills fan and has basically punted on every season since he was in diapers, knows that you don't write off an entire NFL season after 17 minutes of play. I've never seen a column saying, all right, knock these teams out of the playoff picture after a quarter and a couple of minutes.
92 Chargers under Bobby Ross went 0-4, which is a quarter of the season in football, and came back to make the playoffs.
1969 Padres. Let's just go back a little bit in history. They swept their first series. Dick Selma came out, pitched great in opening night. Ed Spezio hit a home run. They swept their first three games of their existence, and they finished with 110 losses.
Yeah. That was the year of the Miracle Mets, but for a while, right, people were thinking that was going to be the Miracle Padres.
Right.
For at least a weekend.
For a weekend. Yeah. And the people around here, there were, of course, no tweets at that time, but you could hear.
Right.
But people talked.
They were, but they were from the birds, the actual birds outside.
Right. But people were, you know, you'd bump into people and say, how far do you think the Padres can take this? And it was like to the fourth game.
To the fourth game.
Right, right.
Let's take a look at how lucky they really are. Cause you touched on it, Mike. I mean, you're going to Coors Field now. I mean, there isn't anything better that the doctor could order than that, going to the most hitter-friendly ballpark in Major League Baseball history for a weekend to face some mediocre pitching. So I think as long as they don't squeeze the bats too tight, I mean, this is the perfect
which is possible the way these guys are pressing, the collective pressing. Who knows how long this can take?
Nah, it's not going to take long. Jordan Lyles is not shutting them out on Friday.
That's a prediction? That's a guarantee?
No, that's a guarantee.
Right. I do think this is a fairly important – I mean, one trip this early in the season generally is not that important. But you are going to two places here where the teams are not Colorado and then Philly.
Two last place teams, basically.
Two teams that you figure are going to be at the bottom of the standings. You should be able to win some games here.
Yeah, I'd say 4 out of 7 is something you need before you get back home. And that'll get everybody forgetting about what's happened the first three games. I mean, look, you faced the potential NL champions also.
I don't think anybody's going to forget what happened the first three.
You don't
games.
Think so?
No, that's definitely not.
But if you win 4 out of 3 or 4 out of 7, I think you avoid laughing stock status, and that's what I'm concerned about right now. You don't want to slip into laughing stock status, because then you start having to deal with those kinds of things and questions. I mean, if Jimmy Kimmel makes a joke about you on the Tonight Show, you've got some problems. So that's why you better get this taken care of sooner rather than later.
And we all want to see this team do well. We want to see Andy Green do well in his first season. But I think the big takeaway is it's still too early, despite how historically bad these results have been the first 3 days. It's still too early. Will Leitch at Sports on Earth went back to every team since the 98 Yankees, who also started 0-3. They weren't shut out every game, granted. But of those teams, 19 ended up with winning records. 19 ended up in last place in their division. You just don't know yet.
Right.
It can go either way. That's what we're saying.
No, three games does
these
not tell you
anything.
These people
have a lot. I'm impressed with these people looking all that stuff up. I mean, they got a lot of time on
and
their
Will
hands.
Leitch, sorry, Will. I've been a big fan since the old Deadspin days and the Buzzsaw, and I've read your book, so my bad on that.
Good stuff.
And also, I do have to give because I went back last year because the guys at Quintelligence write some good stuff. And I remember last year, right around, I think it was mid-May, they wrote a post when the Padres were 18-19, I believe, after all the offseason fireworks, saying, let's give this team until the All-Star break to see what we've really got. So that's there in the past, giving teams a little bit more leeway. We don't have to draw anybody any conclusions after three games, as bad as those three games may have been.
I think after the first month, that's when you know pretty much what you've got.
Is it fair enough to say, though, that if you were only going to look at the three games, that you would almost be as concerned about the 25 they've given up as you are about the 0 that they've scored?
I'm concerned about the 25 they've given up.
I mean, that to me is, if you're going to just look at the three games separately on their own,
right,
getting shut out is terrible, but giving up 25 in your home ballpark,
that ain't good either.
That has an actual concern that I think you can be worried about.
Well, the one that bothers me is games 1 and 3 giving up the runs as quickly as they did in the first inning. That's to me.
I mean, Cashner, I'm not going to put last night's loss solely on him, but he's got to know going into that game last night. We've been shut out in the first two games. I've got to give us a chance to win this game and come out and put some zeros up on the board. And to give up 4 in 40 pitches.
Yeah, you want to slam that door early.
You stick your team in a hole right away.
Yeah, no, it was not a good start. And especially when you're already pressing, you already have that in the back of your head. All of a sudden, that comes front of the mind very, very quickly. Well, we will talk about what this team can do a little bit differently a little bit later on. But we're also going to talk about, when we come back, the replay overturn call last night. It just goes to show you how desperate this fan base is for runs, that how angry everybody got.
They did score a run.
That's right.
Yeah, the box score won't tell you, but
unofficially,
Bill's opinion, we did. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Let us know if you think it's still too early to draw your conclusions, or if you've already written this team off. Again, #PadresSH. let us know. We'll come back in a second, but first, Major League Baseball All-Star Week is coming to San Diego this July 8th through the 12th. Register now for the chance to purchase tickets at allstargame.com. Registration ends April 20th. When we come back, we talk about replay, we talk about angry Andy Green, and we talk about what got Blooper jumping out of his seat at the game last night. You're watching Padres Social Hour.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
There is no Padres game today, which means they can't lose, but it also means they can't score any runs. Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. We're here with Chris Ello and Bill Center in the AMR studio. And guys, a lot of the tweets coming in during the commercial break. Some people, you know, our friend Brent, AG Dragon 78, says, you know, we say we don't know yet about this team. Dodgers, Giants, Diamondbacks, pretty sure we know. Well, we know maybe how the division is supposed to shake out, but not how this team is exactly going to do. Padres 360, our good friends there, saying they agree. Why is everyone talking about not scoring runs when you're giving up 25 on the other
right.
side?
Which, I agree with that.
That was the biggest thing I saw. You know, I mean, Tyson Ross is your ace, and he gets bombed. And Cashner, again, I know Randy Jones and I talked about this a lot the last couple of years, Bill, and I know you have with Randy also. I mean, your job as a starting pitcher is to put some zeros up there and get your offense a chance to get going.
Especially that first zero.
Yeah, and when you're at home right. and you haven't scored in two games, you cannot go out there and give up four.
First inning runs bother me more than anything.
Yeah.
It's always the beginnings, right? As an offense, you want your leadoff man each inning to do well.
Right.
You want your leadoff innings to go well. As a pitcher, you want to retire that first batter, and you want to shut out in that first inning. It's always an issue. And Chase Utley, I think, is already public enemy number one with these Padres fans because every time he comes up, he seems to be starting a game with an extra base hit.
And the problem, what I saw last night with Cashner was a little bit what we saw last year, is that he was – when he had a chance to make the pitch to get out of the inning, he couldn't do it. And that was a recurring theme last year. And that's the only – that's what – I like Cash's stuff. I like what he's got. I just think that he's got to take the next step here.
Which everyone has been waiting
right.
for.
Everybody's been waiting for.
He was someone that a lot of people were tabbing as an X factor for how this team right. will perform in the rotation because he is that swing power arm in the three spot, whether it's a three-headed monster atop the rotation or maybe two or so far as we've seen. I mean, James Shields pitched great in game two. But, yeah, it's been a rough start on both
well,
sides.
I think Cashner has the added pressure of everything that Anthony Rizzo does with the Cubs.
Absolutely.
And I don't know that Cashner puts that pressure on himself.
I bet he doesn't, but you can't avoid it.
But I guarantee you every fan is paying attention to what Rizzo's doing. And when people are talking about MVP for Rizzo and Cubs World Series, and then Cashner goes out and lays an egg like that to start the season, not yeah. good.
All right, let's talk about the one play that – everyone was rallying around last night that kind of crystallized the frustrations for the Padres so far. The Corey Spangenberg out at home plate, then the replay back to New York. 3 minutes and 2 seconds, I think, is how
right.
long they
Three
took it.
3 minutes and 2 seconds.
Again, the fact that everyone is talking so much about this one play shows you how desperate the fan base is for a run. But essentially, you know, Will Myers bouncing out to first base with Spangenberg coming down from third, and Adrian Gonzalez makes the play at home, and bang, bang, live. It looks like the tag got down, but then when you look at the replay, it looks like Ellis tags Spangenberg pretty high and that Corey gets that foot down low under the tag and that he touches home before Ellis is able to apply the tag. And, Bill, you thought that the length of the replay, the review,
absolutely,
maybe gave a little something away what the umpires were thinking.
Previous replay. There was a previous replay in a game on the play at second base when they ruled that the – it was originally called out in the Dodgers. I mean, and then they changed it to an out in the Padres when they said that the Dodgers second baseman Utley was exchanging the ball 34 seconds. This took 3 minutes and 2 seconds, which I'm sure there was some give and take saying, are you sure you're seeing what we're seeing? Because the one umpire was looking at the scoreboard, and I think the one umpire here
– he kept saying,
right,
whoa.
The third base umpire was looking at the scoreboard, and Jim Wolf actually looked over – the home plate umpire looked up at the scoreboard too. And I have a feeling they will never tell you, but there was some question there as, are you seeing what we're seeing?
Was that a smart – I mean, this doesn't make anybody feel any better, but was that a smart play by Adrian Gonzalez? with a 5-run lead, trying to get an out at home plate. I mean, was it that important to protect the shutout streak? He should have taken the easy out there and prevented the Padres from potentially having a big inning.
But the Dodgers are looking for momentum. Yeah, I think it's a good play. You want to keep the other side down. You want to build momentum for your team.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you want to keep the shutout streak.
I'm with
going.
Bill on this one, especially a divisional rival
right.
and the
because
foot
if
on
he,
the throat.
But if he's called, but if he's called safe, which is what a lot of us think should have been the call.
But an
Padres
LA,
now have a couple of runners on, and they got a little rally going behind that runs being scored.
Right. But the Dodgers are still. I think the Dodgers are still in position to win that game, even if he's called safe. I think the Dodgers look at the papers this morning in LA. They've got a lot of momentum right now,
right.
and I think that they wanted those three shutouts.
For but sure. I think Andy Green handled it about as well as he could in a couple of ways. People
let
wanted
me put
maybe-
you. Let me put you, Chris, on the Cholula hot seat for this because this was the bigger reaction once it was deemed that the run ended up being pretty inconsequential throughout the course of the game. A lot of people on Twitter last night and even today, Andy should have been riled up, fired up. You get an ejection for that. That's how you fire up the team, light a spark. You think that's
Well, I personally don't think that's the situation to do it because I think it shows desperation on the part of the manager. And Bill's going to tell you another more important reason why he didn't do this. But you can't show desperation. And I think if he runs out and loses his mind here, then he's showing how desperate he is for his team to score a run, and that plays off on your team. So I think the best time to get kicked out is not in a desperate situation.
Right. Well, and the other thing is that he can either be – if you argue an appeal call that's been made after they've made, you can either be suspended or fined. It's in the rule book.
Yeah.
You cannot come out and argue a play that has gone through the appeals process.
You kind of got to suck it up.
Now,
but some might say the fine may be worth it when you're down 25-0 aggregate over three games to try something.
Would a suspension be worth it, depending on how? Now, what he did is he came out after the inning.
Right.
And he asked Jim Wolfe, What did you guys see that we're not seeing on our picture? So,
I think that's the right way to handle it.
Right. I thought he handled it.
Let me ask you,
right
Mike,
way.
Do you think it was time for a little hothead thing from Andy Green?
I think
there?
He could have made a bit more of a display, just making himself known, maybe coming out for a nice conversation at the time, not during the half inning. You don't want to go all, Bobby Cox out there because, Andy Green's also not that kind of guy, at least from everything we've seen.
Right.
You don't want to betray yourself. All he said all spring to him, to his players, be true to who you are,
right.
And you don't want to do all the histrionics just for a rise.
Plus, Major League Baseball has told all managers, you do not come out and argue a play that has been reviewed.
Yeah, you gotta suck it up.
I mean, maybe you come to the top of the dugout, throw your hands out, and like, oh, that's not good. But you cannot. You cannot.
Are those the words they use in Major League dugouts?
Exactly.
That's not good. That was the Cholula hot seat. So here on the couch, disagreeing with most of Twitter that Andy Green, cool customer, was the way to do it. Let us know if you agree or not using hashtag PadresSH. And don't forget to uncap real flavor with Cholula hot sauce, the hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and the official hot sauce of the San Diego Padres. Now, quickly, before we go to break, I do want to say that even in a game like last night, which was historically futile, when you couple it with the first two games, you stick around at all times because you never know what you're going to see. And in particular, if you're watching on TV last night, you saw a sight that we apologize in advance for you watching. Jabari Blash, who lifted a ball to the warning track in left, trying to end that scoreless streak, and everyone in the park thought it was out, including Blooper. He was right there behind home plate, two rows back, and caught by the cameras, leaping out of his seat, arms up. For those of you listening, you will have to watch this. We'll try and get a GIF up of it later online. But for those of you watching now, Blooper just two arms in the air.
I know.
Like the Bills were about to win the Super Bowl because
he thought
that Jabari Blash.
Scott Norwood's
Blooper,
kick is on its way.
Walk
and
us
it is
through
good.
Your emotions there, Bloop.
He was going to break the scoreless streak, his first Major League home run, first blashed off, first regular season photo shot for you.
Yeah,
I was excited.
And is this your first time on the camera this year?
First time today.
On Blooper Cam?
Okay, on Blooper
Cam.
Not
a few times.
We will try and limit that as much
as
possible.
Can I say one more thing
I would like
about
to know how he
Andy.
Gets that seat at the game.
Right.
I think it was our friends at Fox Sports San Diego got him down there.
Yeah, I wandered down.
Nice.
Director
first
of the social hour, and you get to sit in the third row behind home plate. It's
pretty
sensational.
Good. Who knew
wow.
Blooper?
I want to say one more thing about Andy Green's reaction.
Go ahead.
I do think he should have said something after the game at the media conference and said, I disagree with that. We saw it the other way. That was a bad replay
That's
call.
Right. Yeah, just a little more sternness somewhere.
And somewhere. In my mind, if you're going to have replay and they can't make a call like that, you shouldn't have replay. It shows the entire system is totally flawed. I wanted Andy Green to say something after the game.
All it's right. frustrating when you can see it and for some reason right. they don't see it. I mean, come on.
When we come back, we're going to take some of your Twitter questions and also see what this team can maybe do differently. We're going to try and preview the minor league squads today. It's also minor league opening day. So it's
definitely time to talk
for
minor
leagues. Yeah, look to the future.
Yeah.
Folks, don't forget that Major League Baseball – oh, did I do this read already? Blooper, All-Star Awareness? Yeah, we got to do baseball camps today. For the first time ever, Padres are hosting a series of week-long summer baseball camps. I'm going to be shut out after three games soon, too. Those baseball camps are across San Diego County for boys and girls ages 5 through 12. To learn more or to register your future All-Star, visit Padres.com/playball. We're back with more on this rainy, gloomy San Diego Thursday after this on Padres Social Hour.
You want to talk Padres? Lucky for you, we're doing exactly that. This is Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio inside Petco Park.
We are moving along on this off-day edition of Padres Social Hour. Chris Ello and Bill Center in the AMR studio. I'm Mike Janella. Yeah, we finished last segment talking about Andy Green and whether he should have shown some more fire somewhere during along the line with that Corey Spangenberg replay yesterday. Ed, no nonsense on Twitter, 88, says, yeah, he would have expected Green to show a little emotion, anger, disgust, something, too laid back, fire up the troops, and I think I agree with him in that sense, but to the point you made at the end of the segment, Bill, maybe not during the game, avoid right. the fine and everything, but at some point, maybe a little something-something.
I totally. After that game, I think he should have addressed that point in his post-game media conference. Nothing's going to happen then. You're not going to get fired. And you could just say, we saw it a completely different way. You know, that sucked.
Let's get this stuff right if
right.
we're going to do
get
it.
Get it right.
All right.
So, and that would be my message, too.
Right.
They blew it in New York.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think, as we discussed earlier, too, the fact that these umpires here, a lot of people don't realize that either, that it's not the umpires here making
right.
the call or that get to see it. They're seeing the big screen like us.
Right.
It's New York that makes that call and tells the guys, you know, shoot the messenger kind
right.
of thing.
Such a helpless feeling as,
umpires,
as an umpire.
The umpires on the field, once it goes to appeal, replay appeal, they have no say at all.
Yeah.
It comes directly from New York.
That's got to be such a helpless feeling for right. even for our friend, you know, like Joe West, who's right. standing there and he can see it on the
well, you
scoreboard.
Could see, you
and
could
then
see,
they don't tell him what he thinks they're going to tell him.
You could see the third base umpire looking at it on yeah. the replay. And I'm sure the third base umpire was telling Jim Wolf, this doesn't
right.
you know.
To be a fly in the – not the wall, but
right.
in that huddle.
Oh, you would have – I would have loved
yeah.
to have been on one of those microphones because
right.
when it goes 3 minutes and 2 seconds – there's some discussion going
especially
on.
Especially when the replay an inning earlier was 39 seconds.
34,
or whatever, 34 seconds,
seconds, right.
Yeah, that's very funny.
Dropped
right,
on
so
the transfer.
Moving forward, they're on the road. They hit the road later today, the Padres. They're taking on the Rockies, and then they're at the Phillies. Dr. Bill, Dr. Chris, what's the prescription? What's the fix for getting runs, first of all, and then wins?
I just go – you know, my message would be very simple. Just go back to basics. See ball, hit ball. Stop pressing. Just play this. Don't worry about the first three games. Just go out and swing the bats.
I don't think you can even address that. I honestly wouldn't address it. They know they haven't scored a run. I don't even want to put
well,
that
Well, I don't
your
think
head.
You address it. I agree. But, I mean, just the mood's
got to
be.
But I got a couple of things. Look, Billy Martin used to do it once in a while. You put all nine guys in a hat, and you pick out the starting lineup that way. It might be a little too early for that.
Yeah,
no.
Game four, I think that's
okay.
– save
here,
that for August.
Yes,
maybe.
Okay, what, if we're 0-103, then you'd pull that out?
I'll be long gone by then if Bill has his way, so we won't even have to worry about that.
I'll tell you another thing, though, and they're playing against this young Trevor Story, the shortstop of the Rockies. Who's
story of the year, every bad pun that you could –
right?
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Four home runs in his first three games. Don't hit the guy. But you know what? How about buzzing him back a little bit in the first inning, his first at bat? Let's get this team collectively behind something right now. Make him a little uncomfortable in the batter's box. This guy dove into every single pitch he hit in Arizona and just clobbered stuff over the wall. Again, I think something that can bring a bit of a united front, Bill. And first, I'm not saying you got to hit the guy right in a coconut his first time up, but
right,
let's
yeah,
let the
no
Rockies
is, yeah.
know we're here. We're here to play some ball this weekend.
First player ever to hit a home run in his first three career Major
it's
League
amazing.
Games. A lot of people on Twitter were saying that about this Dodgers series. Why is Chase Utley so comfortable in the box? Why does Adrian Gonzalez look so comfortable? Like you said, don't need to hit somebody in the ear hole, but maybe shuffle the feet a little bit. Bill?
I don't throw at him. But I throw a fastball that bounces into the into that side of the batter's box. I throw a fastball that's about 59 feet, so it's going to come up, and he's either going to jump and fall down and look stupid, or it's going to nail him in the shin. I don't think a lot of people think you got to throw chest high.
No, you don't.
Right, you don't. I think that if you
throw, I kind of like the buzz the tower though, the close shave a little bit.
I love throwing at people's feet.
Okay.
Because then, I mean, if you knock him down, you make him look dumb, and he gets the message without
he's,
throwing
he's
got to
be made uncomfortable in this
right.
series. And, yeah. and Arizona did a terrible job of that. The Padres, to me, it's something they can latch on to.
I disagree totally. I think you've got to address
– disagree totally.
I think you've got to address your side first and not worry about the other guy.
Well,
butter
but
guns,
if you address,
you
if you spend too
front.
Much time addressing your side right now, everyone's going to go out on the field Friday thinking about the fact they haven't scored a run.
It doesn't do the Padres' offense any good to throw at Trevor Story.
No, but it does the Padres some good to galvanize this team a little bit.
I don't think that galvanizes. Right now, I think you just got to – you have to take care of your offense. And then if Story hits a couple in the first game or if he's still going strong, maybe you address something. But you don't take your problem and throw it over to the other side.
What we do know is the Padres will eventually score a run, we think,
right.
and Trevor Story will eventually stop hitting home runs,
right.
we think. But I guess we'll have to wait
hopefully
and see.
Hopefully both
until
things
tomorrow.
Will happen Friday.
Yeah. I think if you throw Story, it makes you look like, oh, you can't score a run, but you can throw at people.
Right. That desperation that we talked about
right.
earlier. Also, only two walks so far and 28 strikeouts. For the Padres in 27 innings, the eye at the plate may be something you can work on.
Hate that.
In-house. Back after this to take a look at the Padres' future. Today's a good day to think about the guys that are coming up down the line maybe. But first, a reminder that Party in the Park, presented by Southwest Airlines, is back this season. It's a pregame happy hour series every Friday home game at Petco Park. Next up, Party in the Park on April 15th before the Padres take on the D-backs at 7:40 p.m., tickets at Padres.com/party. We're back after this on Padres Social Hour.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
Even on days without games, get your Padres fix from us here on Social Hour. Welcome back inside the AMR studios. A gloomy day out there in San Diego. Kind of reflecting the three games in which the Padres have not scored any runs. Our friends at the East Village Times tweeting in, the weather matches Padres fans' mood, which we said earlier. Yeah, it's a very good point. However, if you lived in the 619 long enough, you know that sunshine is just around the corner, which is very fitting because we're talking about a little bit of the future here in this segment. Minor league season kicks off today, so we're talking about maybe some of the guys that could be roaming the infields and outfields of Petco Park in years to come, maybe bringing that elusive World Series ring here. Bill, you saw a lot of these guys down in Peoria.
Right.
Anybody well, catch your eye?
Plus, we have a minor league report every day on Padres.com during the season. We've been previewing the last 4 days. A lot of guys caught my eye. I mean, it's interesting because two-thirds of the Padres prospects are at low A and single A this year. San Antonio, which is usually where your good young pitchers who are close to the major leagues, that's not a good team this year. That's a weak.
That's double A. For
right,
those
that's
who
double A,
lose
double A
track of the
San
geography.
Antonio. But at triple A, El Paso, where they are defending a division title, you've got Manuel Margot and Hunter Renfroe in the outfield, and you've got Austin Hedges catching. So I think there are some players at El Paso you're going to see up here this year. I think that's a good ball club, not so much at Double A. And the lower two clubs, especially at shortstop, are packed with prospects.
First of all, there isn't a team that's ever won a World Series that hasn't done it without some homegrown talent. And let's be honest, I mean, even the great Yankee teams – I mean, they started it with Jeter, and they started with Rivera, and they started with Posada and guys from their system.
Yeah,
and
the then core they built four, around, yeah, you throw right,
yeah.
It in
and
there.
Then they built yeah. around it. So this is something that's imperative for this franchise to get right. And, you know, we're just there's only one way to do it, and that's to wait and see how these guys develop. But as far as what you're going to see this year, you know, look, I mean, I'm not encouraged necessarily that there's any saviors down there. At least not at this point. We'll find out as the season kicks along here. But they've got to develop a long-term plan here that really starts to bear some fruit and get you a core of players in the next couple of years.
Well, I think they – I mean, shortstops. There are some really good young shortstops in the system. And when you look at how they're – I mean, a couple of those, they're not all going to be shortstops. So either they're going to give you some trading material – but you've got Javier Guerra at he's going to start the season at Lake Elsinore, and you've got Rudy Giron, who will be back at Fort Wayne to start the season. My thinking is that along about the middle of the season, you're going to see those guys and Jose Rondon, who starts the season at – that they're all going to move up a class. One of the interesting guys to me is an you will have an 18-year-old – second baseman. Last year he was the youngest player in the Midwest League. This year he'll be the youngest player in the Cal League. He's 5'8", but he does an awful lot of things. Luis Urias, who is the second he'll be the second baseman at Lake Elsinore.
Isn't the best answer, though, to what we've got in the minor leagues that we really don't want to have to see any of these guys this year? Right? That everybody at the big league level just starts hitting, starts playing terrific, pitching lights out.
Right.
And we don't have to see any of these guys, and we can just let them develop behind the scenes. That would be the best,
That's
I think.
That's best case scenario. Right? That's why Austin Hedges is at AAA, because right. Andy yeah. Green wanted him to be playing every day and not sitting on a bench up yeah. here.
Unless they force – I mean, unless they're good enough where they force your hand.
Yeah, they force their some
right.
themselves
then
into
that's
your
fine.
Lineup. Yeah,
I got
sure.
no problem.
Who do you think, Bill, if you were to pick one guy that maybe could make the biggest impact jumping from the minors this season, who would you?
Oh, it would be Hedges by far. Okay. I mean, you're going to have to do something at catcher. I mean, for him to be here, excellent handler pitchers, excellent defensive catcher. If he shows he can hit, last year in a very short sample size at El Paso, he hit pretty well, but it was very small. I do think that – I still believe that Austin Hedges is the catcher of the future here.
And someone that fans loved in spring training and that I love too, Manny right. Margot, a little bit more down the road. Hedges looked great hitting.
Margot's only 21, right. probably leave him there at least until September.
Plenty
now,
of time.
Now, the other guy is Hunter Renfroe. If he starts this year like he finished last year, I think that you've got to take a look and save. But if you're going to bring him up, you play him every day.
Right. And maybe if we see him, Chris, they play their way in, right. and it's a good news after all.
Yes, if they forge yeah. their way in, beautiful.
Then we're good. All right, folks, don't forget that Major League Baseball All-Star Week is coming to San Diego. Get in on the action July 8th through 12th by visiting All-Star Fan Fest, the world's largest interactive baseball theme park. Tickets and more information at allstargame.com. We're back with more Padres Social Hour right after this.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
Here we are, Padres Social Hour once again. Not taking you up to any game today because it's an off day for the Padres as we keep working here in the AMR studio with Chris Ello and Bill Center. I'm Mike Janella. Of course, keep the conversation going with us using hashtag PadresSH and jumping in at Padres.com/social hour. It is an off day for the Padres, which means day for travel. And with all the shutout streak and all the bad baseball we've been talking about, we figured let's have some fun on the off day and talk about a little something away from the field for a little bit. And the topic I want to discuss with these fashionistas that we have here,
right.
Alexei Ramirez's travel wardrobe. This is the new shortstop, veteran shortstop, that the Padres signed in the offseason. And he has been modeling some primo looks so far this year. And from Alexei's Instagram, I want to show some of three of my favorites. And you guys can let me know which one's your favorite. We have right now, if you're not watching, he's wearing basically it's white jeans. And then his shirt is four different quadrants, white and black print. I think Michelangelo's David. Half of the face is on his left pec. It looks great. That was, I think, my personal favorite from the spring. Blooper, just blooping all over the place with the wrong stuff. But Alexei has also fashioned some gold shirts that we've seen. He's had some sunglass game that has been through the roof. Here's the gold shirt. Now we're finally looking at it. It's like, I think, the eye of Sion or something in the middle with that gold T-shirt he's got rocking.
That's not one of the Padres' new home uniforms?
No, we haven't seen that one yet.
I don't think he's allowed to wear that, though, when they're traveling, right?
That's maybe a good point.
Coat and ties.
I think for the travel today, those were pictures from Peoria. Right. But I can only imagine what that kind of fashion-forward sense can bring to a more business-like travel environment.
Well, you've certainly come to the right people.
Right.
But for any kind of fashion advice.
Major League Baseball likes to have their teams travel as professionals. So most teams and you're allowed to have trips where you don't, but most teams travel coat and tie.
Right, because a lot of you get toward the end of the year and you get the rookies having to dress up in this costume or that costume, whatever. Do you like that, though? Do you like the fact that everything should be uniform, or would you rather see a guy like an Alexei Ramirez on a travel day, you know, let his flag fly, whatever he feels like wearing?
Well, I think that if a club has a policy, everybody fits that policy. Now, you can wear that to and from the ballpark.
Well, what would your policy be if you were running a club?
If I was I think that you travel as a professional group, coat and tie. I really agree with that.
You're a group of millionaires. Let's look like you're a group of millionaires.
Look like a
walking.
Professional. Look like
I was going to say walking through an airport, but they don't walk through the airport. They go around the...
You get a little bit. They go to a private plane, you walk, you know, to the bus. Everything like last night, the Dodgers coat and tie.
I like my ball club to look like they belong in the major leagues.
Absolutely.
I agree with that.
I say let them do whatever they want.
Yeah, well, you would.
Yeah, your kid. Yeah.
Nice, young, fresh.
And Snapchat it and tweet about it.
Look, I wore a nice shirt. You wore a nice shirt. Look how he showed up.
I wore a tie twice this week. Mm-hmm. I wore a suit jacket on opening day.
Precisely why I wore a tie is because you wore a tie.
It's an off day. It's off day casual
today.
Off day casual.
I am more than capable of doing
that. Let us know what you think we should be wearing the rest of the season using hashtag PadresSH.
No, please don't do that. My wife already does that.
All right. Well, there we go. The more advice we can get, the better. We're coming back to wrap things up on Padres Social Hour. Don't go anywhere.
Get ready for every Padres game with us. Coming to you from inside the team store at Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
We're back to wrap things up here on this off-day edition of Padres Social Hour in the AMR studio. Padres hitting the road today to take on the Colorado Rockies, then at the Philadelphia Phillies. Wanted to chat because after last night, again, no runs, so the new jerseys, the new uniforms they've been wearing, not off to the best start, but we can now talk about the three new looks the Padres have unveiled. I wanted to get, as we continue our fashion talk with you two guys, your take. So there's been the home whites, the new home whites, which are behind you, Bill. There's a model here. There were the browns that they wore in game two. And then there was the digi camo yesterday.
The blueberries.
The blueberries.
The navy,
modeled
navy
up blueberries. The navy, yeah. So the performance wasn't there for either one. But the look, which one was your favorite?
I liked the brown. I thought that the I haven't been a big fan of bring back the brown because I hate the yellow tops that you see a lot.
The big birds.
Right, the big bird tops. I hate those. But I thought I liked these browns. I did like the browns.
I go brown as well. And I've always said that when I turn on ESPN and I see all the highlights of all the games, I want to be able to know that that's a Padre highlight when I first glance at it. And the brown uniforms tell me that's a Padre highlight. So those are my number ones.
I like the idea of having the navy blueberries since this is a navy town. But I thought that they're almost too camouflaged, that it looked too blue, unlike the former Marine MPAT uniforms, the camouflage. It looked like camouflage uniforms. I don't think the blueberries looked as camouflage as the previous camouflage uniforms they had.
Am I too old school? Am I too, hey, kid, get off my lawn if I say something like, I really wouldn't
mind. The answer is probably yes, but go ahead.
I really wouldn't mind it if the Padres just settled on a couple of uniforms, one home, one away, maybe a camouflage jersey on Sunday to honor the Navy, I'd be good with that.
What I don't like is what Oregon does in football, college football or basketball, where it's literally a different one every time.
Right.
I like a little variety. I understand having your bookends, a home, a road, and then a little mix-up. I like the digis are my favorite look, I think, of these new ones. I think with the Padre blue, I think it's a nice mix.
I also like the matted helmet.
Those,
color.
I think
I don't know if everybody's noticing that, right. But I like
I would
that.
Like to see maybe piping down the whites.
Yeah, could add that
on
too.
The white pants.
All right, we're back tomorrow with maybe less fashion talk and more baseball at 11:30 in the morning. Breakfast with Social Hour. Bob Scanlon and Mike Race here. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
See you guys tomorrow.